Hello and welcome to another episode of Bourbon and Blood. I'm Danny.
I'm Brian.
And here's the music. Hi, welcome back again. I'm Danny.
I'm Brian.
I'm still Brian.
yep,
still. And we're here to talk about a movie. So to set a precedent or set the scene, yesterday, yep. We got in line at 5:30 a.m. for Record Store Day. And a person behind us, his name was Brandon, I found out.
Oh, nice.
Yes, hey, Brandon. Benny.
How you doing?
Brandon suggested we watch this Canadian film from 1990 or 1989, if IMDb is right, called Things.
Hey, Brandon, I should have taken your Spider-Man record.
Yeah, you were a cool man until this moment. Jeez, man. Okay, how do we?
I still like you, though, man. You're still a cool kid.
So, yeah, it's I've made better movies than this with my friends back in like the early 2000s. I mean, it was early 2000s. So there was technology, but wow.
I mean, granted, this is like premiere. This is all like AV club. You have to do everything by hand, like music, editing, all that. But look, you know what? We've seen plenty of movies from the 80s that were.
Okay, so we start off and we have our creepy dude, Doug. This scene doesn't even completely make sense.
This whole movie doesn't make sense.
So he's in like this washroom and he's staring at a girl. No. A girl wearing a Halloween mask.
In a white sundress.
Yes.
And he's like, I want a baby. Was that what he said? He somehow had a baby. I want a baby.
So his exact words were, I want to put a baby in you. My wife and I have tried, but now it's up to you. I've already had a. And then she goes, I've already had your baby. But she gets naked and she's still wearing the Halloween mask. I found out from the notes that this is Jessica Stewart, who plays the nude woman in the opening scene. She was a real life prostitute and attempts were made to find her for the 2008 DVD documentary. And she was nowhere to be found anywhere. So that's sad.
You know why? Because even she didn't want her face associated.
I'm hoping that's a scenario. I really hope that's the scenario.
I know.
But she's naked. She opens up the washroom curtain or something and pulls out a baby. What's it called? Carriage? Crib? Yeah. And she goes, I already had your baby. And then a worm thing pops out and we cut to the intro.
He's like, ah! And then he wakes up. What?
But yeah, none of that has to do with anything.
Well, no, because it doesn't make sense.
Again, he wakes up, so maybe that's a dream.
Well, first of all, the description was like, hey, like, it was totally off about the going to a cabin and, I don't know, a horror fan seeing, I don't know, objects or whatever. This was like, basically, I was like, oh, he must be, which I never got, though, right? Like, Doug must have left because basically his brother and this guy, Fred, and Fred was like... Oh, really?
Hold on. We're jumping too far before.
I know. But anyway, but no. So his brother.
Oh, before his brother even gets there.
Oh,
so Doug wakes up from his dream like you were talking about. Yeah, yeah. He like goes to the kitchen and he gets pills for his wife. And it's always drawn out and long, whatever is happening. It takes him forever. He gets into the bedroom and he hands her a pill and some water. She takes it and she goes, I feel much better already.
I want them drugs.
Yeah.
She's like, I feel better already.
But then it cut to like a doctor scene.
Oh, yeah. The doctor.
So the doctor, who doesn't look at all like a doctor, is dressed completely normal, just with a stethoscope.
He's wearing like a disco shirt and slacks.
Yeah. He's got a weird, I don't know if they were burnt or infected or some sort of, because it's never explained, but some sort of person in a chair. And they're like cutting off parts of his hand. And then he's like, oh, this will be fun. And he pulls out the dude's tongue with a tongue clamp.
Ooh, asterisk though. when they showed his hand was all like skeleton-y, I was like, oh, that was a good piece of FX right there.
Yeah. We don't know. It's
probably real.
I know. Oh, I do have an interesting fact about that, though. In the notes, it does say the two actors that lived across in America would drive over with body parts in their car, some of them real, like from like a college or something. And they were never stopped by customs. But then a year later, they got stopped for having a woman in the car that was a prostitute. So, dead bodies don't matter.
Well, yeah, because they're not, you know, if you have somebody in your car and they go, hey, do you have your passport?
Yeah.
You know, so,
but they never search for the dead bodies. So, yeah, then the gore from the beginning scene, I was like, OK, maybe this won't be terrible.
OK,
like the doctor's pulling out the tongue and then he's like playing with the tongue. Oh, he uses a paper cutter.
Oh, yeah. And the chops off a hand.
Yeah.
Which is illogical because those things really couldn't cut anything.
You don't think so?
No.
I was always terrified of them.
Well, I know, because you thought I'm going to chop. You could probably chop a finger off, but there's no way you would never be able to chop through a bone like that.
Oh, okay.
But
that's good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know when I put my hand in one. It would hurt like hell, but that it probably actually sever some veins. But yeah,
it won't cut your hand completely off.
No. But it would really have you. So is partly, and we'll talk about this more throughout the thing, is that these laughs were absolutely crazy. Like they were like, oh, you're like, what? They didn't match up to anything that was happening in the scene.
So a big part of that I read in the notes is the production team, all of the audio from the filming was not usable. It was too loud. So they just, and it was like, they worked on it for 2 years after it was filmed and they just dubbed what they thought was supposed to be said over that moment.
Wow.
Yeah. And you could tell a lot at many parts,
but it was like, it took 2 years for them to put, and this is what they came up with.
I couldn't complete, cause there's a lot of notes about those two. One of them is our main dude, Don. And the other one was someone who wasn't on film, but I guess like there was a lot of fighting and arguments and who knows. I can imagine.
Well, honestly, kind of, it was like very camcorder. Like it was so funny because then the band Stryker Nine.
Oh, they were fire.
But it was like a Casio. So anybody here who's ever been at a mall back in the 90s, 80s and 90s would tell you that there's always like a Casio store and there's always somebody like, you know, or if you really want to get a feel for it, just watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Although that is better, but I mean, obviously, but like they have like a Casio store and parents, grandparents always had it because they wanted to play organs. And so that's how I felt. But there were some points throughout where they actually came up with some decent, or they might have actually, did they use another band or was just that? I guess
who was the main band, the one that kept playing the song? I was singing it so much before we started.
I don't know. I can't think. I'm telling you, we had a.
This hurt our brains. Hurt our brains, Brandon.
I know. Thank you, Brent.
So
even the, I'll tell you this. Oh, but we never told you we were drinking
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels, and I'll tell you, even Jack Daniels couldn't numb this. That's all I'm saying.
So this is the point where Don and Fred show up. And I don't know, they show up at Doug's house.
But see, that's the key, though. See, I thought they were like, that's what, God, man. I thought they were at like a cabin for the longest time. And then it just dawned on me because his wife was in the bedroom.
Well, that's where he was because they got in the house. He's like, oh, I guess Doug's not here.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to like completely figure out what was happening.
Yeah.
But so they're. Because this is the weird part. They grab beers. They talk constantly about how they need beers and there's nothing to do and they're bored. They like turn on every light in the house. They turn on porn because that's what two dudes do.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I guess this whole time I was expecting like kind of Videodrome a little bit. Like, I'm not like obviously as good as that, but very like, oh, they're watching some sort of like the pre-VHS where they see something crazy and they shouldn't, you know, and then. Yeah,
no. I was hoping from the description that we get something like that, because it kept cutting to like a TV studio that was kind of dialoguing what was happening in a weird way.
But, yeah, but it was so weird because it was like, hey, let's have a bunch of porn actresses in this. Actors and actresses in this.
They added her so they could put her on the cover, but I don't see her on any cover, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they put her in there, and then, of course, during it, they had Tom Byron in there, and then, of course, he had to make fun of Tracy Lords in there going yeah. legit, whatever. Oh, I want to be an actor, whatever. I'm like, okay, we get it. You're all washed up porn.
I mean, I'm sorry if our notes are scattered, but this movie was scattered because like Doug just shows up and they don't even preface it by like, oh, hey, Doug, you know, something cheesy or anything. It's just like Doug's suddenly in the room. He's just like, hey, I'm here. He didn't even say anything. He was just there starting to talk.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think just in the beginning, I was thinking this definitely feels like they're trying. They were like, because obviously Evil Dead 2 came out in 88.
Yeah.
And then prior to that, obviously Evil Dead came out in, what, 83 or 84. And so it seems to me like they were like, these filmmakers were trying to do their own kind of version, because it kept saying like, oh, they're in the woods or they're this. And they kept like these little like, oh, the satanic listening to like the. This tape recorder about like demons, and you're like, what? I mean,
it's the Crowley tapes.
The Crowley tapes, what made no sense, because this movie made no sense. I mean, I think you, as you just put it, two people were fighting. Is they probably like one person wanted to be like a satanic thing, and somebody else wanted to be like an alien thing or something.
I think I read one of the dudes came with like a 90-page script. And then the other dude, the guy that was actually in it, just kept writing hand notes to everyone on what they should say, like changing it. I don't know, though. It just seems like a hot mess.
Well, that just seems I mean, you know what? That is evident. Like, since you read that, that is very evident of what's going on. Because so in the beginning, you know, these are the Crowley tapes, and then
satanic posters. Satanic,
yeah, but it was like, oh, look, there's a pain. There's like, was that a Dolly Satan poster, and there's another poster, and he goes, wow, your brother's really weird. And then the like tape, and then all of a sudden he comes out of the room, and I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, he goes, hey, I'm here, and you're like, what? Give me a beer.
One more thing I want to mention about the sound effects that kind of mentioned, it goes through the whole thing, but it's really important when we go back to the doctor scene. And it makes sense now that I know they had to go and post and put all the noises in, because there's a point where he's pulling out the guy's eye, the doctor, and it's just like someone going up to the microphone and going with their mouth.
Yeah.
And every sound effect in this movie was like that.
I know. And there's one. Yeah. I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but
no, it's fine.
He jumps ahead and he's like, basically like has to clean off
oh yes,
and he's using sandpaper as like a cloth. It's like you're like
that's actually the noise. I'm thinking he did it with his mouth.
I don't know,
because he was cleaning off a flashlight, all the blood off of it, and it just was that noise that you just made with your mouth. So
but yeah, I was like, where are we supposed to be in my note? My notes are all over the place. But I did say this, like, you sensibly so. There's this point when all this stuff's happening and Doug comes out and he's like, I don't know. He's like an asshole, really. If let's suspend how bad to believe to suspend it. He was just a jerk. And then his brother, he brings out sandwiches, like what, cheese sandwich? I don't know. He puts a spider in one of them. And I thought, ooh, maybe the spider's going to come out. And no. And he's like, I mean, I don't know. The dubbing in this was horrible.
His brother eats the sandwich. And an interesting fact I read about that. I have to put the interesting facts in.
Oh, you got to, dude.
There's not much going on.
I know. You read all this. Good for you.
None of them were there on the same day for filming. So that scene where they're throwing the bottle cap, all those were filmed in different like parts of the week when they would come and film their parts. So like all the dialogue parts, they were actually alone in the room talking.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And they didn't even need to. And it was like, but I think they did that. For that, and they didn't even need to throw a bottle cap, because this isn't 3D.
No, there was times I threw it at the camera as like a going to the next person.
Well, that explains where, you know, Fred went, because Fred's like, look, man, I got to go back to work for the week.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. That just
and also Fred would only work if he was completely stoned the whole time, which makes sense.
Which makes sense, because he made a really good one when like all the shit was going down. So Doug's like, I know what Doug goes in the bedroom and he goes, oh my god, oh, come in here. And it he says, which is, I think Fred was my favorite guy here, but he's like, somebody goes, my, this is horrible. And he goes, well, I'll say. I was like, but it makes sense now that we know that he was so high. He's like, yeah.
I liked the part where Don was like, this beer tastes like shit. And he goes to the sink and he adds a whole bunch of water to it. And he's oh, that's so much better. Dude, you guys, the dialogue, there are scenes that it's like laughably bad. And then there's just scenes that it's just bad.
Yeah, there is not like, I mean, it's definitely like, and that like, oh, but yeah, Fred goes one thing, he goes, hey, we should call the cops. Okay, nobody call the cops.
Yeah. Well, there's also a scene where Doug is like, I have to go check on Susan, but he does it with like the most monotone, like, I have to go check on Susan. And then he doesn't get up from his chair and they continue another conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I was just like,
but they do go check on Susan.
Oh, yeah.
But just before they walk in the room, a worm monster pops out of Susan's belly.
Yeah. I mean, well, the creature was kind of cool looking.
Honestly, the creatures looked fine in this.
I was thinking that was basically where all their money went, probably.
I think they spent $40,000.
Oh, no. This is 1990, man. They probably spent maybe like 10.
No, I read they spent $40,000. And they told people they spent like $100,000.
What?
Yeah. On what? Getting that one star for the TV screen or the newscast?
Oh, Gingerland. Yeah, I was like, what?
Oh,
but it's so funny though, because like they never had her dialogue above the TV, which makes sense that he probably was just handing stuff to her and then she's just reading like, oh, to what was happening. But it was just, yeah, it was.
Jesus. Then we got the only death that was actually sad in this movie. Oh, we introduced to this dog for 5 seconds. Cute little pup. And then when the worm's out of Susan's belly, the dog goes down and chases it into the basement and goes into the curtained area. And you get the overdub of a weird dog fighting. It doesn't sound like the dog is losing. But then blood splatters against the wall. And you're like, oh, the puppy.
And then, I mean, look, this whole, and then of course they go back in and whatever, but then I don't, like, this whole movie's like, they're not worried about what was happening.
No, they're never worried.
Like, your wife literally just had a thing about her belly and Fred disappears. They didn't say what. He goes, Fred is dead. I mean, he just kept saying,
oh my God, that whole scene. Okay. So Doug actually gets emotional for a second, talks about how his wife is dead and how he had her artificially inseminated by this doctor because they can't have a baby. And then Don just like breaks into this weird story, like horror story of a childhood. And even Doug goes, what's that got to do with anything that's happening right now?
Jesus, that was like
a 10 minute story, too.
It was, you know what? It was about 2 minutes too long is what it was. 10 minutes too long. It was horrible.
And then the power goes out, but it doesn't affect how anything looks at all.
Except the red lights that keep showing up. But you couldn't tell whether it was going to be like, it's kind of like this director saw a creep show and like.
Oh, I do love the creep show red light effect.
But I know though, but there was like a reason why. Yeah. Like it was like, nee! Like there was some kind of like horror happening. This was just basically like red light. And then it was light. And then there's this one point where I know I'm jumping. I have no, they go in the bathroom. I don't know why Don goes in the bathroom and Don's in there doing whatever.
Hold on.
I don't even know where we're at right now. That's how we're at. This movie.
We're almost
to Don in the bathroom.
Yes. First, I want to go back to, you already touched on it, but this is the part where the lights go out and this is the excuse suddenly they have for Fred to be missing. They're like, where's Fred? And then that's when what Doug was like, Fred's dead. doing his weird laugh.
And then he's like, no, man, Fred's going to get help. Which, of course, Fred did not go get help. Fred got a
Fred got a chainsaw, but we'll get to that.
Fred's like, hey, man, we need you to come back on Saturday.
Yeah, basically. So this is the part where actually we get like 10 minutes of weird conversation that I don't even remember. And it cuts to the newscast again.
Oh, yeah.
And then it cuts back and Don's like, I have to pee. Do the pipes work?
This is your house, man.
No, it's Doug's house.
No, so yeah. So Don goes in and Doug's sitting outside like, and then he starts like scratching the door. Yes, you have these creatures and shit in the house. And you're all like,
they're like playing tricks on each other.
I know, but I'm just like, yes. Like, I'm like, what? I hope these guys got paid for this. I'd be like, look, man, like you're paying me. This is horrible. But Don comes out and then Doug looks in there and there's one of those creatures on the toilet. Now, wait, here's a question I had. Did he shit out like in Tommyknockers? Was it Tommyknockers or no? Was it maybe? I mean, no, it wasn't Tommyknockers, but there was one where Dreamscape or whatever from Stephen King where it's in his belly and he shit it out. I'm like, is that what happened? Is this what Don did? Because Don, they both look in there and then Doug goes in there and you hear a bunch of and then flushing. So apparently he killed it and flushed a giant turd.
These creatures look like half spiders, half ants with very sharp teeth. It actually looks kind of sick.
That's where 40,000 went.
Yeah, it might have, to be honest.
Yeah, I like
that. All right, so where the fuck are we in the notes? Hold on. Inseminated, bathroom.
Yeah, you're better than me. I've got this movie's making me drink. The sound effects are making brain numbing.
I don't care if it's back a little bit. When they were in the kitchen and the lights went out, Don goes, oh, no, where's Fred? And Doug goes, he got sucked into that mouse hole, man. And I'm like, what? I hope that's not the I hope that's not the reason they're really going to give that Fred is suddenly gone.
Oh, my gosh. And then
and we also forgot after the bathroom scene, Doug is covered in blood.
Yeah.
And we get honestly 5 minutes of Doug shirtless
taking
and him and his brother. No, they're just wiping him off with paper towel.
But I don't understand. Oh, I guess that was because I thought he would. That was after he killed that thing, I guess.
Yes. Right? But still, that was a long scene of no dialogue and just brothers wiping blood off each other.
Yeah.
Shirtless.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then what else do they do? Like, it's like, I don't know. Like this.
Oh, thing they want to turn on the power. So they get.
So somehow Doug fuses. Doug some finds the fuses, puts them in his pocket.
Oh yeah.
And then, but doesn't tell his brother where they're at. And then they go in the basement and all the creatures are sleeping. And then
I don't know if they're sleeping. They're just not moving. They're all over the place.
Though. Oh yeah. But then all of a sudden one attacks his brother and he hit his brother in the back of the head.
Yes.
But he knew to reach for the fuses. Then I think his brother was reaching for his business.
Probably. I mean, after all that shirt cleaning,
I'm just saying a little necrophilia action. These guys, man.
You forgot your favorite quote he said there.
Oh, wait. That was funny because he was like, wait. He had two quotes. He's like, you heavy fuck.
I'm just going to set you down. Yeah. And then what do you call him when he's trying to pick him up again?
You heavy puke.
Yeah.
Those are the two best. Like, yay, you win that one. But then he's like, so he gets him in and then he gets up and then he's like, oh, yeah, I got it. And he somehow gets up and then he makes it because I guess he's been bit. I don't know. His head's all thing. And then
they go to the kitchen again. The
kitchen and this creature bites his fingers off. And of course, he's like
bites his whole hand off.
Oh, I thought it was some fingers in there. But then his brother's like, hey, I read about this in Boy Scouts. And he tries to like cauterize his, they had the power back on. He could have turned on the stove.
Yeah. But instead he brought over like a rolled up piece of paper on fire.
And then he dies.
Wait, I know the acting's bad here. I know. But there's a part where he's cauterizing his brother's hand and the brother's screaming. And then he like stops and just like smiles and like looks around like he doesn't know what to do still. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, my hand. Like it's completely break character. Look around. Am I supposed to scream more? Are we going to keep rolling?
Yeah. It was. And then he goes, he dies.
And yeah, he dies.
He dies. And then he's like, I'm going to put him in the closet so the creatures don't eat you.
Under the floorboards.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how that would work out.
I don't even know. I'm telling you, I have no.
At some point, it goes back to the basement. I don't know why. There's no reason for him to go back in the basement.
No, no. Before, though, it was really funny because his brother's like, hey, there's morphine in the basement.
Oh, OK. I didn't know that. So now I know why he's going to the basement. But he goes to the basement. He sees the dead dog. And then we get like an overly not needed him puking on the floor scene.
Yeah, but it was so bad because he didn't eat beans.
No, it's all just like, I feel like they opened a can of black beans, put it in his mouth, and told him to just spit it out on the floor.
It should have been like, put some chewed up, at least make it chewed up bread. Make it like something. Make something in this movie make sense. Make something. And then he goes upstairs and
he sees his.
The doctor knocks on the door.
Nope. Not yet.
Oh, no. What happens there?
Okay. So he goes upstairs. He sees his brother on the chair, but he's imagining it or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And then he passes out and just falls on the couch.
Oh, they jump. And then Fred jumps in.
Yeah, because he wakes up to Fred's chainsaw and Fred is like jumping back into the house as Hero Boy, chainsawing up all these creatures, which are all over the living room. Oh, now. Yeah. But they haven't touched on.
No,
he just laid asleep on the couch.
Yeah, because he wasn't moving.
We get this super. It's kind of fun and gory. The sound's really off and weird, but so Fred's just chainsawing everything. Don's walking around confused. Yeah. At one point, Don shuts Fred into the living room and Fred's like talking. He's like, oh, my God, they chopped off my arm. I'm OK. I'm still alive. Oh, my God, my leg. Oh, I'm OK.
You asshole.
Yeah, you come back and get me, you asshole. Yeah. And Don opens the door after a while, and I thought this was the best scene in the movie, but Fred's head, it's talking. Just his head, and it's a skeleton head with eyeballs, is still talking.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe you left me, you asshole.
But we'll address that part later, but then the doctor.
Oh, God, that didn't even, this scene.
Doesn't even make sense.
Go for it.
So the doctor somehow shows up at the house and he's like, you did this, you crazy. But I'm thinking the whole time, like maybe like he, you know,
maybe he did.
Well, no, like maybe that, like it was just like this whole thing's like a dream or whatever. Right. Like whatever. And he's like, oh, my God, look what you did. You killed. You've done all this damage, whatever. And he's like, but the fact he's walking through the house because you're going to be the criminally insane. And I was thinking the whole time like. That is very weird because if you tell somebody you're going to go to the crib, they'd kill you.
Yeah, he was very chill about the whole thing. He's like, look at all these guts. This was you. You did this. And then he takes him to another room. He's like, what you did to the girl?
But to me, if in real life you did that, the person you're talking to would probably take something, the hammer, and kill you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he like, didn't he throw him in a room? I don't know what he did with him. At this point,
he threw him in the bathroom and then he locked himself in the closet next to the bathroom.
I say, because at this point, my Taco Bell was tasting a hell of a lot better
than whatever was happening in this movie. I know. I didn't take any more notes after this. I'm just trying to remember.
Well, no, it's just because I was thinking at this point, I'm like, OK, how much time we have left? And it just kept dragging and dragging. And then he runs out of the house and he is running and running and running.
We had a long ass running sequence.
I know. And you're just like. Oh, my God, dude. What? And then guy goes, help me. So some guy, you know, helps him up, brings him up. And he goes, you need to take me to L.A. or whatever, Santa Cruz, so I can get to police, whatever. And then he gets to somewhere. He goes, oh, my, thank gosh. And he goes, this is all a dream.
I also love when he meets the guy on the bridge. It shows Doug or Don trying to climb up the bridge. Yeah. And it was like way too long, like 2 minutes of him.
And he just was hanging on there for a minute.
And then it cut to him like up on the bridge, just slowly crawling over. Like, oh, yeah. So you tried to climb up that and it was not working out.
We'll do that because people don't realize lifting somebody up isn't easy.
Yeah.
You see that shit in movies. You're like, bullshit, man. Anyway. But that had a really cool song and I don't remember what it was.
That was the same song.
Yeah. Damn, I probably blocked it. I'm so like, jeez. But somebody gets on the car, it's a dream. And then the doctor's face is all bloody. And then, I was just all bloody, like, you're dead. Oh,
You got yourself in a tailspin.
You got yourself in a tailspin.
They played that song 3 times in the movie. It was awesome. Wait.
You got yourself in a tailspin.
Let me see if I can find it.
And yeah, but I was like, this has got to end. Oh, but then when they looked in through the house, keeping the devil. But that's what I mean. Like, this movie is very disjointed because you're like, is it a devil movie? Is it an alien movie? Or is a scientist impregnating you with like a demon baby?
I think that's what the overall theme is. How did this movie even end? I remember he was in the closet. Like you said, it was a dream. And the doctor tried to open the door.
Yeah. He just closed it because basically it's a dream. He goes, it's a dream. And so basically it was one of those things where he's like, oh, it's a dream. And the doctor was all bloody and crazy. And so he locks himself in the closet and you just close it. And you're like, you know, you could have done that about half an hour ago.
But as it was going to black, we see that there's a monster sitting on the shelf next to his head.
Yeah.
So he's probably dead.
He's probably dead. He's in a tailspin.
Got yourself in a tailspin. So yeah, Brandon, that movie was terrible.
And you know, yes, Brandon, this was so bad that it like, yeah. Like, you know what I'm telling you? It made that one movie that we watched, that one with really good FX, with you thought it was a real brain.
Yeah.
It made it seem like that was an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. And that movie was good.
Well, that was good, but it was like 80s bad good.
Yeah.
Like, you knew they put more production into it or something. I don't know, man. This was just wow. Well, thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah. Anyone else have any suggestions? We'll probably bet them a little more beforehand. Maybe not. It's kind of fun to just go random into this.
Yeah, I was definitely hoping this was going to be better. I just, I thought it was going to be more of a movie and not like some people who decided to do a camcorder. Yeah. The fact that they paid, I'm telling you, the fact they paid $40,000 for this is like, man, they were just really bad. Because there was a comedian in the 90s or 80s who did, his name was Townsend. He's like a comedian and he did his own movie. It was $40,000, but it was he put on his credit cards and it became like his top seller and he was able to pay off his credit cards.
Oh shit.
Yeah, no. So I'm telling you, so I was like, okay, whatever. I could dig that. But this is just like, yeah, no, man. I don't know. Like, first of all, I guarantee this movie was based on two people who were probably friends and they had an idea. But one person was basically like, I'm the leader. And the other guy says, I'm the leader. You know what they do? Instead of being like, you know, dare I say, you know, what's his head from Evil Dead, the director for that?
Sam Raimi,
who basically took control of everything, wrote it. And he probably took suggestions because he did, but he was in control.
There's too many cooks in the kitchen
because like you can't write a script and then have, you know, be like, well, I hate the script, so I'm going to give you notes. And that you could see it. It's evident that you wasted $40,000 on a movie. And the fact that it's on TV is like really kind of blows my fucking mind right
now. Well, it's on Tubi. So if anyone does want to watch this, it is on Tubi.
But that's what I'm saying. It's on Tubi, though. Like, I would have burnt all copies. Like, I literally been like, I don't want my name associated with this. I'm burning it. And I'm going to like, and I would like deny anything.
I never had anything to do with this.
Yes. IMDb. I'd be like, I'm taking my name off of this.
I know they're on MTV, so it's there.
I'd be like, take it off.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Urban Implied.
Thank you very much, people.
And we'll be back soon.
Woohoo.
Bye.